Thank you, Colin, for your kind words of welcome again and for your encouragement as we have looked at this great book of Daniel. And let's just take time and read the chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, only 13 verses in it. We just got looking at the first three verses, but we'll include them in our reading this morning. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to 1335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. So, last time we just got looking at the first two verses. Actually, we looked at Michael's ministry, how he oversees the angelic protection of God's people. And we saw terrible times, and the church has come through terrible times and is coming through terrible times and will yet come through terrible times, and maybe the worst times that they've ever come through as it nears the second return of Christ. Then we saw a preserved people. Everyone that is delivered at that time, because their names are written in the book, in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are a preserved people. And then we saw different destinies. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, heaven, some to shame and everlasting contempt, hell. But let's continue on from verse 3 to the end of the chapter. And the first thing that we see is the righteous rewarded, and they that be wise. shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Who are these wise but those who know the Lord, those who have a knowledge of God? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. So here we have the theme of evangelism and encouragement. "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." That is some brightness, that's dazzling, that brightness. "And they that turn many to righteousness." Turn many to righteousness from their sin. Those who are seeing others brought to Christ shall shine as the stars forever and ever. As Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And we have been reading here in Daniel chapters 10, 11 and 12. Remember, it's all one vision. And we see some very dark times here. But yet there will be those who will survive those times. There will be those who will come through those times. There will be those who will hold on to the Lord. And no matter how rotten the times, the Lord will always have his salt. No matter how dark the times, the Lord will always have his light. As Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 15, "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Are we shining as stars? Because remember, the central verses where these chapters are built round is chapter 11, verses 32 and 33. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Even though they may end up suffering themselves, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." You could put Daniel 11 verse 33 over different periods of history where the church has come through terrible times. These wise people of Daniel 12 and verse 3 are people who know their God. These are the ones who shine as the brightness of the firmament, are the people who know their God. "They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever" are those who know their God, and they're strong, spiritually strong, and do exploits. Dale Ralph Davis, in his commentary, as I've quoted him several times, and a few times this morning, he's good for a quote. He just wraps up things nicely. That they influence others to go on walking in righteousness and assist them in remaining faithful in the pressure of the times. Those who remain faithful in the time of suffering and who bolster others not to deny the faith in such a time. While hell is battering the church, Christ at the same time is building his church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." As that day is getting nearer, how Christians, how God's people are to be encouraging one another. Exhorting one another. And instead of pulling each other down, bringing each other up. It's a day when the righteous will be rewarded. The righteous rewarded. And then we see in verse 4, a bound book. Verses 4 and 9. This is a different book from the book mentioned in verse 2. That's the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where God's people have their names. That's where the elect are. And as Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, as we remarked, how the 70 return with joy, even the devils are subject unto us. And the Lord told them there's something greater to rejoice in, that your names are written in the book of life. That their names are written in heaven. And we dwelt upon that. Just to think upon that, to meditate upon that. Your name written in heaven. It doesn't matter where it's written on earth. There are those who want their name written on a trophy, on something that they've won. But at the end of life, does it really matter where your name was on earth in this life? As long as it's written in heaven. But this is the book, a different book in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Maybe to find out what's in the book. In verse 9, it's mentioned again. And he said, go thy way, Daniel. Because Daniel asked the question in verse 8, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel wasn't given any information himself about the contents of the book. The book was bound because the vision had ended. We have sought to understand the book of Daniel. We have sought to work through this book. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And no matter what book of the Bible is sought to be studied, people want to have knowledge of that. It's good to increase our knowledge in different things. When you think of the world's books, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12, of making many books, there is no end. Think of the thousands of books that's being published day by day. A lot of it would be rubbish to us. But we thank God for those books that are published, those commentaries, those great books on church history and on doctrine. We love to read all that to educate ourselves in the things of God. Verse 4 could be paraphrased like this: preserve the book until the end, for it contains the truth as to the future. Many shall go to and fro in search of knowledge, but they shall not find it. The written revelation of God is in the world, but men heed it not. Instead, they look for knowledge where it is not to be found. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. But many look in the wrong place. Even to the time of the end. Verse 9, till the time of the end, and then all shall be revealed. Because Revelation 20 tells us of the great white throne judgment. And it says there in verse 12, and the books were opened. And we read that another book was opened, which is the book of life. But what are these books that will be opened? They will be the books of our lives. But I wonder, among those books, will other books be opened? I have no doubts that the books of the Bible which has been denied, which has been disobeyed, which has been derided, to many it's a joke book. Modern comedians treat the Bible with utter contempt. I wonder in that day will one of the books be what we know as the Bible be opened that day? Will evolutionists and atheists and be shown the book of Genesis and the first 11 chapters about creation? And will they be shown, I had it all written down here for you, and you denied it, but here it is. And how God is to be worshipped in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And those chapters on holiness, the book of Leviticus, and hygiene, and the Psalms and the prophets. All that came to pass was all prophesied for you. If you'd only taken the time to read it and to acknowledge it. And then the Gospels, Christ, the Church, the Epistles, the Book of Revelation. Because John chapter 12 and verse 48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Where do we have a record of the words of Jesus? But only in the Bible. They're nowhere else. And Jesus says, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And A.W. Pink's comment on this verse is, first and foremost among the books which shall be opened, and out of which sinners shall be judged, will be, we believe, the written word of God. I'm not going to deny that. I think the Bible will have a place that day, on that day of judgment, before the great white throne. The books will be opened. The word of God will be opened. People didn't live by it, didn't obey God's rules where marriage was concerned, abortion and premarital sex, all of that kind of thing, all of those moral issues. People will say it was here all the time, but people disobeyed it. That's why they're before the judgment. Surely the Bible will have a place on that day. The righteous rewarded a bound book, but from verses 5 to 12 we see a couple's conversation. These are two angelic beings. They and I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this bank of the river, on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river, and they seem to have had a brief conversation, and one said to the man clothed in linen, it was all for Daniel's benefit, of course, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. You can picture just standing the two hands up to heaven. And swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. We've come across that before earlier on in Daniel. It seems to be a set specific time. And when he shall have accomplished, who's the he? But one who causes trouble. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people of God, or of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And like ourselves, you know, Daniel didn't understand this, and I heard, but I understood not. If he says that, then if I can't understand it, then I'm in good shoes. But I understood not then, said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And this seems to be, in verse 7, one of the most solemn moments in the vision, indeed in the entire book, when this angel stands with both hands to heaven and swears by him who lives forever and ever. And this time, times and a half, the phrase seems to imply a restricted and limited time during which Yahweh's flock stands under the ravages of the final oppressor. That's who the he is. But the marvel of it all is that this shattered people has a God who shortens the days. You remember Jesus said that he would shorten for the elect's sake. That this shattered people has a God who shortens the days, a cross-centered God who knows the pains of his people and sets a limit to their distress. In verse 8, Daniel asks, and in verse 9, Daniel is advised, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And then there's something more that's maybe more difficult to understand. Verse 10 says, many shall be purified and made white and tried. And that's the whole purpose of coming through difficult times, of persecution, of trial. God doesn't send an experience into our lives to drive us away from him. It's brought into our lives to bring us closer to him. Many shall be purified, as Peter says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Gold is put through the furnace in order to burn off the dross. It comes out on the other side gleaming. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wise have a knowledge about things that the wicked don't have. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. We have insights into what is going on. We have insights as to what the future holds, because the Bible tells us these things, that there's going to be an end. And then we come to verses 11 and 12. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. What's that about? Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. What's that about? 1,290 days. 1,335 days. I think Dale Ralph Davis gives an excellent definition of this. He says, what are we to make of these figures, 1,290 and 1,335, or 1,290 and 1,335? According to verse 11, the 1,290 days are a time in which true worship is repressed and believers would be under pressure to engage in perverted worship. Hence, it is likely a time of intense suffering when faithfulness will come at immense cost. The most notable characteristic of the numeral 1,335 is that it is larger than 1,290. If then one makes it to the 1,335, he or she has outlasted the 1,290. Such persons have endured. They outlast the pressure, the persecution, the pain. They have gone through and beyond the trouble. The numerals may baffle us, but the way they are used here simply implies that God has a people that will make it in spite of everything thrown at them. If you are Jesus' disciple, you're simply called to keep on going, to keep slogging on in your worship of Christ, to keep on refusing to bow to the latest idol. Who knows what hatred and damage may fall on you, what threats or enticements may be made to you, but God is going to have a 1,335 people. After evil does its worst, the Church of Jesus will be there, standing on its feet. I love that. God is going to have a 1,335 people, whatever that all means in that. Blessed is he that cometh, or blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. You've passed the 1,290 days. You've come to the 1,335 days. So this is our last point in the book of Daniel now. The righteous rewarded. A bound book, a couple's conversation. The very last verse, the prophet's prospect. Or we could have said Daniel's destiny. But go thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. I don't think there's a nicer end to a Bible book than the end of Daniel. He's told twice in this chapter to go his way. Just carry on, Daniel. Verse 9. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end, till the time of the end. But go thy way till the end. Till his own personal end. Daniel would have been in his 80s in this chapter. We don't know how much longer he lived. But as if the angel was telling him, Daniel, just continue on doing what you're doing. Again, one has said the twice repeated go your way is not a brusque dismissal, but a simple assurance that Daniel can go back to his work, back to his prayers, back to whatever of his life was left, till the end. And we have seen the type of life that he lived. in chapter 1 when he's in his mid-teens, he could have been about 14. He's uprooted from his home. He's brought to Babylon. Everyone's strange. Everything is strange. And yet he's in the re-education program of Babylon. But chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." No doubt he would have had a good opportunity with that eunuch to tell him of his background. Verse 21, "And Daniel continued, even to the first year of King Cyrus." He continued for years in the same frame of mind. And chapter 6 and verse 10, we see another wee insight. Before going into the den of lions, verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." He had done that for years, prayed 3 times a day with his window open towards Jerusalem. Just carry on doing that, Daniel. You don't need to change anything. Just keep on going. "Go thou thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." This was going to be, this verse talks about Daniel's own death. It talks about his rest. His body in the grave, yet he's resting in heaven. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They shall rest from their labours. For thou shalt rest and stand." He'll be resurrected to stand. "And stand in thy lot," our inheritance. "Stand in thy inheritance at the end of the days." This is going to happen to us. Are there things need changed in our lives? Or do we just carry on the way we are? Reading your Bible every day. Praying. Just living for the Lord. I'm reading at the moment at night, just before I turn the light out, Andrew Bonner's Life and Diary, Banner of Truth publication. Andrew Bonner lived from 1810 to 1892, well known for his biography of Robert Murray McShane. But I read this a week or two ago. He says this, and this was the year before he died that he wrote this. "I should like to die this way. I shall preach on Sabbath, take the prayer meeting on Wednesday, and on Thursday night people will be going about saying, 'Do you know that Dr. Bonner is dead?'" He wasn't going to change anything. It's a good job we don't know when the day of our death. We know the day of our birth. There's a time to be born, and we know that. I've another birthday. This is my, September's the month of my birthday. There's a time to be born, but we don't know the time to die. And if you were given a date to die and you put it in the diary, how do you live up to then? We don't know. So we just carry on the way we are. "But go thou thy way till the end." Keep on praying, Daniel. Keep on being dedicated to to the things of God, Daniel. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. How do we finish off this series in the book of Daniel? He was one of four great men of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, 33 and 34. He's not mentioned by name. There's no verse especially for Daniel. There is for Moses and so on, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, but there's nothing for Daniel. He's just mentioned among all those that the writer of the Hebrews just, what can I more say? What can I say of Barak, of Jephthah, of Samson, of Samuel and so on, of David? And then he gives a whole list where you can certainly fit into Old Testament times and characters. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel. And in the next verse, quenched the violence of fire. That's his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in Hebrews chapter 11 for our encouragement, for our examples. Dare to be a Daniel, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. He was already an old man. Maybe not too much longer to live, we don't know. But this is the advice that he was given. Let's sing Psalm 92, verses 5 to 11. Psalm 92, 5 to 11. How great, Lord, are thy works, each thought of thine a deep it is. We stop singing at verse 11, but from verse 12 onwards, but like the palm tree flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grow that is in Lebanon. And verse 14, and in old age, when others fade, they fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be flat and full of sap, and they be flourishing. And certainly Daniel is one of those examples, isn't he? But we're singing verses 5 to 11 to the tune St. Peter, Psalm 92.